The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Welcome to a Tuesday, being the Tuesday after the Memorial Day holiday. This is everybody's Monday, so I'm not feeling so alone today. I hope you had a great weekend here in South Florida. We were rained in, not as bad as some, you know, people in some parts of Florida and Alabama and, you know, other parts of the country that are hit by Alberto, the first named storm of the season, even though hurricane season hasn't officially begun yet. That happens on June 1st, which is Friday, if that's any indication of what we're up against. It's been a wild morning. Before we get there, first let me apologize for no show on Friday. I was feeling a bit under the weather. And when I say that, I've talked about it a little bit. But I suffer from restless leg syndrome, and I'm in a particularly bad period of it where nothing seems to help. And so, you know, if I'm lucky, I'll fall asleep for a couple of hours. Then I'll wake up at 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning, and I'm up because my legs will not let me continue lying down in bed. So I've got to get up and walk around. It's a horrible, horrible affliction. And obviously, it disturbs my sleep, and lack of a good night's sleep exacerbates the depression that I have been suffering from. So, you know, I was not in a good place Friday morning, and Jason Leopold was supposed to be on the show, and he was out with the flu all week. And so when he said, I'm really feeling shitty, I thought, you know what, with both of us feeling so shitty, it would be a kind of a shitty show. So let's just start Memorial Day weekend early. And I took the day off. So I apologize for not being here Friday. That's what that was all about. I got some sleep last night. I was up, my legs woke me up at 3, and I think I got back to bed somewhere around 5 or 5:30. Yeah. And then I woke up at, 7:30. Got myself out of bed to do What's News, because it runs on the Progressive Voices Network all day. Then crawled back in bed for a couple of hours. It's really not fun. But we have got a laugh today, and between the two of us, we'll do okay. I'll do all right. And there's lots to talk about. Like her president, Roseanne Barr went on an ugly Twitter rant this morning, so offending decent people in Twitter to the extent that she actually apologized. Oh, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall for those phone conversations. Anyway, it was too little, too late, and ABC canceled her show. Aw. Actually, it sucks for, you know, all the other people on the show who've been affected by it. I feel bad for Sarah Gilbert. I feel bad for the other staff, other cast members. I feel bad for the cast and crew. I feel sorry for those people. She cost them, in many cases, their livelihoods. You know, cameramen and showrunners and, you know, I don't know all the technical names of all the people that work behind the scenes. But, you know, they thought they had a job for another season, and now they're out. But I kudos to ABC for doing the right thing. Anyway, we'll talk more about that with Gotta Laugh when she joins in a few minutes. Sadly, lost in the Roseanne news today, because you know it'll be all over the place, and you know Trump will weigh in on it, and oh God, will he weigh in on it? But lost in all the news about Roseanne will be the news that at least 4,645 people died in Puerto Rico due to Hurricane Maria, a toll much higher than the 64 official deaths attributed to the storm by the government. A Harvard study found that healthcare disruption for the elderly and the loss of basic utility services for the chronically ill had significant impacts across the territory. But Trump did a great job. Just ask him. He'll tell you. In fact, he's I have it in What's News. He's doing a one of his rallies again tonight, this time in Nashville, where they just love him. And, you know, they're going to take Roseanne out as a rallying cry about the corporate media and the liberal media. It's another thing that it just exhausts me and makes me depressed. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a quick time out. We'll listen to What's News, and we'll come back with Gotta Laugh next. Hopefully we can find a few things to laugh about today. Don't go away. I'm Nicole Sandler at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
I read the news today. Oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
3 days after sending a letter to North Korean leader Kim Jong-un canceling the planned summit, Donald Trump says it's happening as planned. Nothing has changed.
I just want to mention we're doing very well in terms of the summit with North Korea. Looks like it's going along very well. There are meetings going on as we speak. And I think there's a lot of goodwill. I think people want to see if we can get the meeting and get something done. If we got that done and if we can be successful in the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, it would be a great thing for North Korea. It would be a great thing for South Korea. It'd be great for Japan and great for the world, great for the United States, great for China. A lot of people are working on it. It's moving along very nicely. So we're looking at June 12th in Singapore. That hasn't changed. And it's moving along pretty well. So we'll see what happens. Okay?
CNN reports that North Korea's top nuclear negotiator is headed here for meetings regarding the summit.
Several media outlets, Bloomberg, a South Korean media outlet, Yonhap, and there's also a Japanese media outlet that is reporting that Kim Jong-chol, who is often called Kim Jong-un's right-hand man, the top nuclear negotiator in North Korea, that he is on his way to New York right now to meet with U.S. officials ahead of this summit. We saw video from the Associated Press of Kim Jong-chol in the Beijing airport, which would make sense because when you're a North Korean diplomat, generally speaking, you do transit through Beijing before heading elsewhere for talks. Now, we should note CNN has not independently verified this information, but if this is true, according to multiple media outlets, then that would suggest the things we've heard about higher-level meetings between high-level U.S. officials, high-level North Korean officials on the U.S. side, perhaps Secretary of State Mike Pompeo being involved, that those meetings would take place before this summit happens. So we're going to wait and see how that develops in the U.S. today. Furthermore, there's other things going on in this side of the world. A North Korean official was spotted in the Singapore airport, where he will then go and meet with American diplomats that are already in Singapore, part of that advanced logistics team figuring out how all of this will go down, location and otherwise, in Singapore. And finally, there are American delegates here in Seoul that yesterday met with North Korean delegations at the DMZ trying to work out an agenda for this summit that could take place in as little as 2 weeks. They didn't meet today. They're probably going to meet again tomorrow. But this gives you an idea of the massive amount of diplomatic activity at the working level and at the senior level, apparently now, trying to make this summit a reality, even perhaps on June 12th.
Congress is out this week for their Memorial Day recess, and Trump heads to Nashville for a fundraiser and rally for Representative Marsha Blackburn, who's in a close race against Democratic former Governor Phil Bredesen to replace retiring Senator Bob Corker. Donald Trump late Friday appeared to confirm that his administration reached a deal to put Chinese telecommunications company ZTE back in business. Interesting timing, as Ivanka Trump just got some new Chinese trademarks approved from MSNBC.
The details with Ivanka Trump's big businesses, in addition to being one of the president's top White House advisors, she was awarded seven new trademarks by China this month on everything from books to housewares to cushions. The trademarks came around the same time President Trump vowed to find a way to prevent Chinese telecommunications ZTE from going bust. The Washington Post reports that 6 days before the announcement, China approved five of Ivanka Trump's trademarks. And then on May 21st, the country awarded her two more. Ivanka Trump has now 34 trademarks in China that would allow her to build her brand in the world's second largest economy.
Despite reports that the Department of Health and Human Services lost track of almost 1,500 children who came to the U.S. unaccompanied and were placed with sponsors, Deputy HHS Secretary Eric Hargan says they're not lost, claiming that the sponsors, quote, simply did not respond or could not be reached when the Department's Office of Refugee Resettlement attempted to call them. Donald Trump and high-level administration officials have been defending the policy of separating immigrant children from their parents as part of tougher border enforcement measures initiated in recent weeks. And then there were 44. Congressman Tom Garrett, Republican from Virginia, announced he wouldn't seek re-election, making him the 44th Republican member of Congress to do so.
I am a good man, and I'm an alcoholic. This is the hardest statement that I have ever publicly made, by far. It's also the truth. With this in mind, not for fear of losing or for lack of love for our great nation, today I am announcing that I will not seek re-election.
Tuesday is the day that Starbucks is closing more than 8,000 stores to provide anti-bias training for its employees after two black men were arrested at a Philadelphia store last month. Rudy Giuliani went to Yankee Stadium on Monday, which happened to be his birthday.
The New York Yankees wish a very happy birthday to Mayor Giuliani.
And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, so that means I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
You're listening to the Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com. And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment. Shooting the shit with Laffy.
Hi, yes. It is this time every week we get together with our pal, Gotta Laugh, who you find regularly on Twitter, to talk about the news of the day. First, we got to get her on the line. Hello.
Oh, yes. You've reached the Trump Memorial Day hotline.
Oy. Okay.
Press one if you think. We now also mourn and remember a time when vanity coins weren't created to commemorate a canceled meeting.
Yes.
Yes. Press two if you think. We now also mourn and remember a time when children weren't being tortured and traumatized by being separated from their families.
Oy, yes.
Press three if you're hoping to erase any memories of the horror story that is the Trump presidency.
The button stuck.
Keep pressing. Oh, my God. Yesterday's Memorial Day was so... First of all, did you happen to listen to any of his speech?
No, I did not.
Well, I didn't mean to, but I heard part of it. And one of the things he did was he was calling out one of the kids whose parents died in service, you know, in military service. And he said that the kid's eyes glowed. He said, I can see something. I'm going to get this wrong, but something to the effect of your face is I see your face radiating, you know, whatever. And your eyes are glowing. And all I could think of was it like a horror flick.
Uh-huh.
And this kid is walking toward Trump like a zombie with eyes glowing, you know. He's so lame.
He's horrible. Did he make the speech all about him as well?
I don't know. I stopped listening. I mean, I happened to turn on the TV and I thought, oh, I thought I missed it. Darn it. And I turned it back off, you know. But I did hear that.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, Trump put out a tweet, a Memorial Day tweet. That,
oh, yeah. We're going to cover that.
Okay. You got that. In, all right. So then
you can go ahead and read the tweet, definitely.
If I have it.
Here, I got it. Happy Memorial Day, first of all. which is is not happy.
Right.
Those who died for our great country would be very happy and proud at how well our country is doing today. Best economy in decades, lowest unemployment numbers for Blacks and Hispanics ever in caps, and women in 18 years, rebuilding our military and so much more. Nice.
Nice. Oh, he's such an ass.
God. And you can hear in the background, my dog is barking at something I have no idea what.
Hamilton is not sleeping, huh?
He's not. I ran him around. I did everything I could. He's not eating. He's just chewing on something and barking.
All right.
So.
Well, hopefully he'll settle down.
Whatever.
He sounds cute.
Anyway, so it was all about him. It was Happy Me Day, not Happy Memorial Day.
Putting the me back in Memorial Day.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Ugh. And then, of course, bragging about his economy that he claims is his, and best economy in decades, which he claims, and all the other lies that I just read to you, and all the capital letters he could muster up.
Yeah, and exclamation points. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So should we just get into it? Because there's so much stuff from today. It's just it's crazy out there.
It is crazy. I finally got your DM that was saying that. I was like, yes, she's right. It's crazy today.
All right, let's do it.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
All right. So what's going on the Twitters, as if I didn't know?
Well, I have a couple of random ones and then a whole bunch about the Roseanne thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, actually, this is a thread that I NBC News put out an opinion piece that connects white American bigotry with support for marginalization and authoritarianism and stuff like that. And it says the research suggests that when intolerant white people fear democracy, wait, that doesn't even make sense. That when intolerant white people fear democracy, may benefit marginalized people, they abandon their commitment to democracy. Then it goes on to say, I just have some pull quotes. World values survey data used is from the period 1995 to 2011, well before Trump's 2016 run for president. It suggests, though, that Trump's bigotry and his authoritarianism are not separate problems, but are intertwined. Ethnic cleansing is impossible as long as marginalized people have enough votes to stop it. But this roadblock disappears if you get rid of democracy. Richard Spencer, the Nazi, understands that white rule in the current era essentially requires totalitarianism. That's the logic of fascism. Black people, Asians, Native Americans, and women were prevented from voting for significant stretches of American history. America's tradition of democracy, for some, exists alongside a tradition of authoritarianism, for some. In practice, the GOP has increasingly been embracing a politics of white resentment tied to disenfranchisement. Quote, since Richard Nixon's Southern strategy, the GOP has pigeonholed itself as, in large part, an aggrieved white people's party, unquote. White people continue to decrease as percentage of the U.S. population. At some point, it's going to be impossible to win national democratic election with platform that alienates people of color. GOP, seeing coming demographic apocalypse, pushed voter ID laws, etc., you know, different kinds of voter suppression, to try to prevent black and minority voters from polls. And I've got two more. A party built on demonizing and attacking marginalized people is a party that will have to disenfranchise those same people if it is to survive. And finally, in embracing the politics of white identity, then, the GOP made a Trump possible, and it is likely to make more Trump-like candidates successful in the future.
Great. What was that from?
NBC opinion piece.
Uh-huh.
NBC News.
Uh-huh.
I'd have to link over and
that's
look.
Okay.
But I don't remember seeing a name attached to it. I think it was just opinion, you know.
Uh-huh.
So and now I remember back in, I think it was around 2010, Rachel Maddow doing several segments over a period of time about what she called negrophobia, where white voters were terrified because they were going to become the minority inevitably, and so they have a, you know, that fear of becoming a minority and therefore practice all the things I just mentioned, you know, things like voter suppression and authoritarianism, because it's their way of coping.
Well, it's sickening.
It's horrible. And I'm surprised this tweet that I, you know, put out about this got a lot of attention, which I didn't think it would. Sometimes I put out these, you know, major stories or major threads about these things that I think are important, and I don't get much of a reaction. This one got a decent reaction, and I was really glad to see that, especially on a holiday.
Right. Right.
So, okay, there's that. That was important. That was very important. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's one from Ro Khanna.
Okay. Ro Khanna, congressman from the San Jose area.
And he said, South Korea President Moon is telling us that North Korea needs America's assurance for an end of hostilities and a security guarantee to denuclearize. And John Bolton is threatening them with the same fate as Libya, exclamation point. Bolton's actions are worse than a crime. They are a blunder.
Okay.
I think it's worse than a blunder. They are a crime. But okay. That's, you know, either way. So that was his comment that flew by yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we're into Roseanne. And first I'll read you, if I can find it. Is this it? Yes. The ABC Entertainment tweet, statement by Channing Dungy is more like it,
right.
ABC Entertainment. Roseanne's Twitter statement is abhorrent, repugnant, and inconsistent with our values, and we have decided to cancel her show. Great, except, and this will come up in one of the tweets, she has tweeted or said or written or videotaped herself doing worse.
That's true.
And they hired her again.
They did. But I think the outrage this morning, and it follows not only this morning's tweet where she tweeted Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby equals Valerie Jarrett.
Right.
And that's what started it all today. But yesterday, she was tweeting at Chelsea Clinton. Did you see this?
Yeah, I did.
She tweeted, Chelsea Soros Clinton, to which Chelsea Clinton responded, Good morning, Roseanne. My given middle name is Victoria. I imagine George Soros's nephews are lovely people. I'm just not married to one. I am grateful for the important work of At Open Society does in the world. Have a great day. And Roseanne tweeted back, Sorry to have tweeted incorrect info about you. Please forgive me. By the way, George Soros is a Nazi who turned in his fellow Jews to be murdered in German concentration camps and stole their wealth. Were you aware of that? But we all make mistakes, right, Chelsea?
All right.
She's
I think I may have that one. And then, of course, people referred back to Snopes, which said, no, he was a 13 or 14-year-old and explained the situation, which I don't have in front of me right now, so I don't want to say it wrong. But it didn't need to, you know, obviously Soros is not a Nazi sympathizer. Okay, so, yeah, so here's Roseanne's apology tweet before she claimed to, again, say that she was going to delete her account on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And I made a little comment about it. I apologize to Valerie Jarrett and to all Americans. I am truly sorry for, are you ready, making a bad joke, excuse me, about her politics and her looks. I should have known better. Forgive me, my joke was in bad taste. Except that's not what she should be apologizing for.
Mm-hmm.
It's the racism, not a joke
yep.
or about looks and politics.
Yep, exactly.
So, yeah, she didn't quite get that.
Yeah.
Didn't quite get that.
No.
All
and
right.
by so the then, way, the one that said, I apologize, I am now leaving Twitter, came before the so-called apology to Valerie Jarrett and all Americans.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And she, about a week ago, said she was leaving Twitter, too. And then she said, she came back a few minutes later and said, oh, no, after all the tweets I'm getting, I changed my mind.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, she can't shut her mouth.
I just needed the
feedback. She can't shut her mouth, and she'll keep going. Yeah. And I just, you know, I'm dreading Trump coming out and, you know, casting her as the victim. And it will. You know, he's doing this, you know, one of his rallies tonight in Nashville.
Oh, yeah, that'll come out. That'll definitely be part of his ego rally.
Mm-hmm.
He won't be able to stop himself. So, Kasim Rashid Esquire, he's an Islamic educator, a women's rights defender, Black Lives Matter, etc. He said, bullet point, where Roseanne peddles anti-Muslim bigotry and racism by calling Valerie Jarrett an ape baby, but please tell me more about Roseanne's slow confronting her own Islamophobia. White privilege is being an open racist and Islamophobe and still getting a primetime TV spot. This was obviously before they canceled her.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to say, so ABC Network canceled the Black-ish Take a Knee episode, partly because it'd be quote, too controversial. Yet they celebrate the real Roseanne, who just called Valerie Jarrett, as black woman and public servant, an ape baby. Excuse me, allergies galore on this end. Combating racism, controversial. Promoting racism, primetime TV.
Yeah.
And that's what it was for a few hours there until ABC saw what was happening and saw that people were starting to circulate every sponsor of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And realized that they better get on this. And I do credit them for getting on it fast, but I wonder about their motives. It just, you know, it's always about money.
Yeah. Although the executive at ABC is the first African American to head a network. So maybe
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's a woman. Maybe she just had enough of it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Let's see. Rude Pundit tweeted, just do a Becky, replace the real Roseanne with that Rosie. It'd be a great show and MAGA heads would explode, thus making the country a bit smarter.
Yes, that would be good. Before they canceled, I had said in a tweet, actually, that I'm waiting for ABC to figure out a way to profit off of this by coming up either with a new version of the show or something. But hopefully, you know, they'll refrain, hopefully. Lawrence O'Donnell tweeted, everyone fell for Roseanne's big premiere rating. Ratings collapsed after that, as they almost always do. Roseanne's ratings aren't worth today's burden for Disney and ABC. Huh. They don't have to be brave to cancel her. Maybe they just have to be good business executives.
Wow. I wonder what the ratings have been for the rest of the season. I'm sure
it's fallen. Still good. Still, I think, in the top 10, but they fell drastically, like 23% or something. It was a big drop. But that was expected.
Yeah.
Because no show keeps it up like that.
Of course you may not
start out strong and you may stay in the top 10, but you're not going to stay as high up in the ratings as she opened with, especially because ABC promoted her constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So of course she was going to get ratings.
Right. Right. And it's the curiosity factor, too. I mean, you're bringing this thing back after, you know, being gone so long. And it was a highly rated show back in its heyday when it was first on. So, yeah. I love this one. Dictionary.com tweeted, bizarre is one word to describe Roseanne's comments about Valerie Jarrett. Or you could use this one. And it's a link to dictionary.com/browse/racist.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The fact that dictionary.com did that, I found, I love it.
Right.
It's awesome.
Right. I love when Webster's does it too.
Mm-hmm.
Merriam-Webster's comes out and does a lot of that stuff. It's commentary without commentary.
Right.
So it's just perfectly done. It's classy and they generally don't do that. So when they do, you really pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you read the Roseanne quote, sorry to have tweeted incorrect info about you, Chelsea, so I don't need that one. Susan Hennessy, who's a Lawfare executive editor, I don't really understand the it was a joke defense of making a racist joke. Yeah, we get that it's a joke. It's the racist part that's the problem, which is exactly where I was going with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is this? Oh, and Wanda Sykes, this is from The Hill. Okay. First of all, the Hill tweeted out something calling this a racial issue.
Yeah,
I called them out for that, and I said it's racist. Then they said, a second tweet, about an hour later, Roseanne producer Wanda Sykes quits the show after racially charged tweet. And again, I said, now it's racially charged. First you called it racial. No, it was racist. Call it what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who else did that? I think it was Washington Post and Bloomberg also did that.
Yep. Yep.
Drives me nuts. But one of them corrected. I may have that tweet. I don't know. But one of them corrected.
But early on, Wanda Sykes did it on Twitter. I will not be returning to @Roseanne on ABC. Which she got a lot of applause.
Yes. I saw a lot of people thanking her, which I was very happy to see. Jeff Yang of CNN opinion, Roseanne Barr 2018. I apologize for comparing Valerie Jarrett, a black woman, to an ape. I should have known better. Forgive me, my joke was in bad taste. Roseanne Barr 2013. I apologize for comparing Susan Rice, a black woman, to an ape. I should have known. And what she had said was, Susan Rice is a man with a big swinging ape balls.
Oh, God.
With big swinging eight balls. Yeah, so this is not a first. That's why I was saying, what was ABC thinking to begin with? So there you go. And then Brandon Friedman of the New York Daily News. He has that article showing a picture of Roseanne posing as Adolf Hitler with a cookie sheet.
Yep.
Filled, you know, with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Roseanne did a photo shoot wearing Nazi paraphernalia. She pulled people-shaped cookies out of an oven. Don't let ABC Disney act shocked. Everyone knows they hired a racist to make money, and now they own it. I totally agree.
Yeah,
I totally agree.
Well, but you know, but I give them credit for doing the right thing now.
Oh no, definitely. But they hired her to begin with, knowing exactly who she was.
They knew. I think she was trouble before.
Yeah, right. Well, Soledad O'Brien. She said, this is the Sarah Gilbert statement. She put out a tweet saying, Roseanne's recent comments about Valerie Jarrett and so much more are abhorrent and do not reflect the beliefs of our cast and crew or anyone associated with our show. I am disappointed in her actions, to say the least. And then Soledad says, strong statement from Sarah Gilbert, quote, I am disappointed. Will she follow with the always meaningful thoughts and prayers? And that's true. I mean, it was a week. I saw a lot. In fact, an ex-student of mine who is now a writer, he does entertainment commentary and writing. And so he's really come a long way. And he pretty much said the same thing, only not as polite. He basically said, you know, what the hell are you thinking? So, yeah, nice of her to come out and say that, but not very strong.
Right. But then she followed that up with another tweet. I guess after the cancellation, perhaps, she said, this is incredibly sad and difficult for all of us as we've created a show that we believe in, are proud of, and that audiences love, one that is separate and apart from the opinions and words of one cast member. Problem is, it's the cast member has her name on the show. So,
right.
You know, why don't they have kill off Roseanne Connor with a massive coronary and then, you know, do a show with the people that are left, because it's a great cast, and then maybe I'd even watch if you get rid of Roseanne.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I watched about half of the first episode, and I didn't think it was well done. I thought there were a few funny lines, but I got really bored really fast, and we turned it off. I didn't see any reason to watch, forgetting about the political end of it.
Right.
Okay, so here, this is from Daniel Dale of the Toronto Star, and he said, FYI, Washington Post changed its headline to racist. And it's Roseanne. This is the headline. Roseanne went on a vitriolic and racist Twitter rampage. Now she's apologizing. Good.
Good for them.
Good that they did that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
He ran the Hills one that I was talking about. Roseanne Barr apologizes for racially charged bad joke.
Right.
And Deadline, Wanda Sykes says she's leaving Roseanne after stars racially charged, blah, blah, blah. So he was running as many of these as he could, too. People aren't calling it racism. It is racism.
Yeah, big time.
Big, big old time. Matthew Miller, he used to be with the Department of Justice. Mm-hmm. He said, you just can't expect to say blatantly racist stuff and expect to keep your job unless you're the president of the United States.
Unfortunately, that is true.
Yeah.
And it continues. He gets worse and worse. Sam Stein tweeted, now that Roseanne's show has been canceled, we get today the backlash to the backlash. Tonight and tomorrow, Trump tweets. Wednesday through Friday, cable news fodder. And Sunday, a big picture New York Times column on what this says about society.
There you go. That is perfect. And I tweeted myself, Trump and his pals will whine about, quote, free speech violation after cancellation of Roseanne, not understanding how the First Amendment works. Wait for it. They're going to say she was stifled and how dare, the powers that be stifle her free speech. That's not what they did. She can say anything she wants, but they're a private enterprise who hired her. They can do whatever they want.
That's true.
They're not the government. The government, this only First Amendment applies to the government. And people keep forgetting that conveniently.
Yeah. Jerry at from Tulsa, just a guy, tweeted, how appropriate is it that ABC canceled Roseanne's show on the day Starbucks is teaching its associates not to be like her?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people were saying, why don't we send Roseanne to one of the Starbucks? That's exactly right. That was a popular one, actually. I saw that go by several times. So people are thinking alike on this. That's all I've got for today's tweets. I've got now yesterday's coming up.
Okay.
You ready? All right.
Sure.
So the Trump tweet, the Happy Memorial Day tweet.
Yes.
I have maybe, maybe half a dozen responses to that. One is from James Gleick, who's an author, and he says, as if he was Trump, they'd be praising me, except they died. So sad.
Well, let's read, because people come and go through the show.
So. All right, let's do that.
Oh, wait, right. More breaking news on Roseanne. Roseanne's talent agency, ICM, ooh, dumps her in response to racist, bigoted tweet.
Excellent. That's my ex-agent, by the way. Wow, that's fantastic. Good for them.
We are all greatly distressed by the disgraceful and unacceptable tweet from Roseanne Barr this morning, ICM said in a statement Tuesday, according to Variety. What she wrote is antithetical to our core values, both as individuals and as an agency. Consequently, we have notified her that we will not represent her. Effective immediately, Roseanne Barr is no longer a client.
Good. That's
big.
Really good. That's really good of them. She'll become a Trump spokesperson now. Ugh. All right. Trump tweeted again, Happy Memorial Day. This is yesterday. Happy Memorial Day. Those who died for our great country would be very happy and proud at how well our country is doing today. Best economy in decades, lowest unemployment numbers for blacks and Hispanics ever in caps, and women in 18 years, rebuilding our military, capitalized, and so much more. Nice! So Jack Gleick said, they'd be praising me, except they died. So sad! Exclamation point. Wow. And then Vote Vets also responded, this is the most inappropriate Memorial Day comment that a POTUS has ever made. Self-promotion on a day to remember the fallen and wishing those remembering their deceased loved ones a happy holiday is appalling. Cadet Bone Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
Which he is. He's Cadet Bone Spurs.
That's what David calls her.
That's a good name for him.
Yep.
Jarn Arabosis of America Blog said also, this is another example of the kind of thing that if a Democrat said it, the right-wing media and politicians would find a way to blow this up and do a never-ending scandal that would mark this politician for the rest of his career.
That is true.
It's always a double standard.
Yep.
Always. I mean, that's the thing. You know, I got to say, at least Democrats will go after their own. If somebody does something, they generally will condemn that person. A lot of them went after Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them go after the different Congress members that have had issues.
Yep.
And the Republicans stand strong in unison, as a unit with their accused person, whoever it may be.
Yep. Make excuses.
And then they get their way.
Yeah. And it's evangelical standing up for Trump after 19 women accused him of assault.
That's a killer to me.
It really is sickening.
God. All right. So Judd Legum of Think Progress said about this tweet, Trump commemorates Memorial Day by asserting that members of the armed forces who died would be Trump supporters.
Right.
Oh, my God. The tweet of God was my favorite. He added to this. This is not the first time I've said this, but it continues to be applicable. Fuck you, asshole.
Yeah.
I love that one.
Again, in response to Trump's Memorial Day tweet, making it all about him.
Right. Right. Thank you. And finally, Colonel Morris Davis, who is one of my favorites, says, as the troops stand ready at Arlington National Cemetery on Memorial Day, Trump is busy watching Fox News and lie tweeting.
That's what he does. This is what he's probably doing right now. This is all this man does. He tweeted out at one point yesterday, sorry, I've got to start focusing my energy on North Korean nuclear. Oh, I should do it in his voice. Sorry. I've got to start focusing my energy on North Korean nuclear, bad trade deals, VA choice, the economy, rebuilding the military, and so much more, and not on the rigged Russia witch hunt that should be investigating Clinton, Russia, FBI, Justice, Obama, Comey, Lynch, etc. Ugh.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. I couldn't even, you know, usually I like to throw up a couple of his tweets and make a little comment, but sometimes it just gets to me where I think, what? What's the point? So I'm amplifying what he says, you know.
Uh-huh.
On the other hand, I love calling him out. So, whatever.
I know.
Whatever. Okay. Okay. So Harold Itskowitz retweeted a regular normal Memorial Day tweet by President Obama, like a really beautifully worded thing, and said, "Wait, you forgot to tell us all how great you are."
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, I was watching, I think it was one of the Sunday shows, and they were talking about how this president, continues to destroy all the norms that that were in place for the last 250 years. You know, he just doesn't understand them. He doesn't understand the Constitution, the way the country works. He doesn't understand that there are norms of behavior.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
I think he understands them just fine. I don't think he gives one crap about it. I think he wants to be the bull in the china shop. And what kills me is how the media describes him as such, as opposed to just saying how awful he is. They word it in such a way that he would find complimentary. Like,
There's a whole controversy now over the media not calling him out for lying, not using the word lie. And apparently at the New York Times, there is a policy. Maggie Haberman was on CNN. I just have a short clip here talking about the fact, you know, when she was asked, well, why don't you call a lie a lie?
Yeah.
And here's what she said.
John Cusack, you know, star of The Sure Thing, Better Off Dead, my personal favorite,
great,
High Fidelity.
Great, High Fidelity is a great movie.
But you claim they've all been ruined for you in a way. This is a serious discussion
no,
right now.
I didn't say that, but that's okay.
You know, it's a serious, well, are you calling me a liar?
I'm because saying that's you're misquoting me.
But that's anyway, what, no, but that's what this is about. It's about whether or not, you know, and you said it when you were talking about birtherism, the president is promoting a lie.
In
birtherism
case,
is a lie.
Right.
There's the difference between lie and falsehoods. Explain what's going on here.
So a couple of things. At my paper, our executive editor wants to use the word lie very sparingly, and I think that there are reasons behind that. I think the main reason is, there are two reasons. One is that a lie contains intent, and you are going at someone's intent when you say lie, number one. Number two, if you use a word 100 times a day, it feels to me like it loses its meaning. And I would offer a third one, which is, the most important thing that we can do is record for history, not for people's Twitter pleasure, what he is saying and whether it is truthful or whether it contains truth, whether it is the facts or whether it is not the facts. To me, the label is much more of a semantics game. And I understand that there is a lot of anger out there, and I understand that there is a feeling that this president is not being held accountable.
Because John Cusack and the like want you to say call something a lie.
Right, and that's fine, and I understand that, and that is their right in criticism. But I think that, to me, the bigger issue is setting the historical record straight, and the label is less significant for that. In the case of birtherism, he had been carrying on about this for 5 years, and so it was kind of clear at that point. He had claimed that he had sent investigators to Hawaii. It's obviously clear that none of that was true.
It was a lie.
What you are dealing with Donald Trump in terms of how he promotes things that are not true is something different than we have ever seen with a president. He says so many things that are not true that you would literally be using the word lie probably 20 times a day if you were just going on a day that he gave speeches or if you were going through the tweets.
Oh, yeah.
To me, that loses power. And also, we are dealing with someone, and you know this very well, who tries to create his own narrative and his own fact set, which is what we're talking about with the conspiracy theories in the first place. To me, it is more important to show what is true and what is not.
But if it's a lie, it's a lie. And to call it an untruth, I think, takes away more power than to call it a lie 20 times a day.
You know, I think it was Lawrence O'Donnell who took some time toward the beginning of this presidency to explain the difference between a falsehood and a lie. One is it could be a stretch of the truth, or you really don't, you know, if he's an idiot and just didn't know, and the other is intentional, pretty much what Maggie Haberman was saying. And so he thought it was important to distinguish too, because, you know, for accuracy's sake, I get that. But then how about instead of saying falsehood, because it sounds like a euphemism.
Right.
That's, I think, what people are getting so mad at. It doesn't sound like you're being intentionally accurate. It sounds like you're just sort of pussyfooting around it. So maybe if they said this is an outrageous misrepresentation or something.
Yeah.
But if they don't want to desensitize us to the word lie.
I don't know that it would desensitize us to it. If you repeat the word, it's lie, over and over and over again, maybe the message would get through to more people.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I'm just saying I can understand what they're saying from a journalistic viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care.
Right.
I think he's a liar.
Yes, exactly.
And he lies so often, and why not just call them all lies? At this point, it's not like that there are few enough of them where you should distinguish.
Right.
And that, you know, we don't want to be unfair to the guy. But he is such an ass and such a lying ass and such a moron and an ignoramus that just go ahead and do it. Who cares?
Right.
He represents himself this way. So why should we worry about it?
Yep. I hear you.
He's horrible. All right, okay. Back to the Tweeties. Josh Holland, our buddy who writes for a number of different publications, he said, "I hate phony performative patriotism. Don't talk to me about the people who made the, quote, ultimate sacrifice and then turn around and whine about how taxation is theft."
Okay.
He has a good point. Mm-hmm. Just a random thought. That was a good random thought.
Yep.
Okay, so this was in your news what's news thing. Voice of America headline, China approves 13 new Ivanka Trump trademarks in 3 months. And then there's a quote, taken together, the trademarks could allow her brand to market a lifetime's worth of products in China, from baby blankets to, now get this, coffins?
Oh.
And a host of things, including perfume, makeup, bowls, mirrors, furniture, books, coffee, chocolate, honey. She continues to profit. Maggie Haberman, speaking of whom, tweeted, "For people curious about the sudden ZTE tweets from Trump, hello,
there you go."
And here's two of his tweets.
Okay.
Here's an earlier one and then a more recent one. ZTE, the large Chinese phone company, buys a big percentage of individual parts from U.S. companies. This is also reflective of the larger trade deal we are negotiating with China and my personal relationship with President Xi. Okay, first of all, that wasn't him typing.
Okay.
That was not his.
No, that was one of his staffers.
Yeah, it had to be Scabino or somebody.
Yep.
And then the next tweet, at a later date, Senator Schumer and Obama administration let phone company ZTE flourish with no security checks. I closed it down, then let it reopen with high-level security guarantees, change of management and board, must purchase U.S. parts, and pay a $1.3 billion fine. Dems do nothing. So meanwhile, so he's doing all that for China. And then we talk about Ivanka getting 13 new trademarks in 3 months.
Yeah, although this morning there's breaking news. Trump is moving ahead with steps to protect U.S. intellectual property by punishing China with broad investment restrictions, litigation at the World Trade Organization, and hefty tariffs on $50 billion worth of Chinese goods. The move, which the White House announced this morning, comes just a week after Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said the trade war between the two countries was on hold and will ratchet up tensions just before Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross is set to arrive in Beijing this week for further talks. So who knows?
He's not happy with Wilbur Ross right now either.
Oh, no?
I put out a tweet. It was a newspaper article. And if I can find it, basically he's bad-mouthing him. It's coming. Here it is. Trump reportedly bashed Wilbur Ross as being past his prime, no longer a killer, amid tensions within the administration over trade negotiations with China in recent weeks.
Oh, my God. Well, the guy is, what, 87 years old or something?
Yeah, he's a million years old, and he talks funny.
And he falls asleep at meetings.
He nods off. He does.
Best people. We hire the best people.
Oh, yeah, the best. Only the best. Best experts anybody ever had. Mm-hmm. That's what people say. That's what people are telling me.
Uh-huh.
Politics video channel tweeted, more than 60 Democratic lawmakers demand ethics investigation into Trump for advocating for a Chinese company just days after China's government gave his company a $500 million loan. In the letter, lawmakers say Trump may have violated U.S. laws.
No.
Yeah.
No way.
Imagine?
Trump?
A president would never do that.
God.
The Hummingbird, a resistance account, Tommy Lauren says Trump can't be impeached because he won the election.
Ah, so that precludes impeachment. Okay.
Yeah, that you got to win an election in order to be impeached, you see. It's kind of like that First Amendment complaint we're going to start hearing about.
Right. You got to talk first.
It's the government. ABC is not our government. They can do it. Twitter is not our government. So if we want to block somebody, that has nothing to do with free speech. That has to do with the rules of the company.
Unless you're the president of the United States and your Twitter account is an official record of what you say, you do not have the right to block somebody.
Exactly. That's Z-A-C-K-L-Y.
Just saying.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So Barbara Malmet, or Malmet, if you're French, I have no idea. She's an activist, a follower. And she said, we shoot women running away from oppression in Central America. We yank children away from their mothers and send them to, quote, foster homes or whatever. We slap yellow bracelets on immigrants like Nazis made Jews wear yellow stars and send them to camps. Who are we? I don't know. I know who we are. We're not, but Trump is. It's all about Trump and the people who have been racist their whole lives and finally got a big old megaphone.
Yeah, I'm going to have to replay that 14 steps to fascism thing that I put together a while ago.
Yes.
I'll get it ready to trot out one of these days when a guest doesn't show up again. because it's that's where we're headed. This is all authoritarianism plays.
Isn't it that all but one has come true already? I think Lawrence O'Donnell also has something on that, where he was listing off warning signs of fascism, and all but one, maybe that one finally did come true too, but that's where we are. We are there. And it's because, frankly, the Republican Congress won't lift a finger to change a thing.
That's it.
They are completely complicit. Anything that happens that Americans don't like in terms of this kind of thing, you can put on them because they refuse to call, they'll call Trump out, but weakly, and then they won't do anything. They won't take any action. Mm-hmm. They may give us lip service about him, but they won't stand up to him at all.
I hear you.
I know. All right. So Gene Little, just a random account that I saw, said Trump voters were so upset about the non-existent pizza parlor basement that someone actually went there armed to free the non-existent children. When confronted with the news that 1,500 plus real children are missing, their outrage is non-existent.
Yep. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter at all. And where are the Republicans there?
Absent.
Mm-hmm. Complicit.
Mm-hmm.
Complicit. They aid, they abet, they enable. I say that over and over again. I want it to become a mantra. They aid, they abet, and they enable. And we as a country are suffering from it. And our democracy is being attacked, chipped away. It's becoming damaged beyond repair. We better get something done quickly. Hopefully November will be it. But this is just a nightmare.
Yeah.
Adrian Carrasquillo, a reporter for the Latino Briefing, he said at Yankee Stadium, oh, I'm sure you heard about this, the Yankees wish a happy birthday to former Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Thunderous boos rained across the stadium.
I played it.
I figured he. Oh, you played it.
At the end of What's News. Here you go. It was hard to hear the announcement that Rudy Giuliani's birthday is today, but the boos were loud and clear.
So you know what Giuliani's going to say about that? It's fake boos. but I've already seen tweets from trolls saying, no, they were saying Rudy.
Oh, God.
Can you believe
they
it?
Really were not.
Rudy. No, it was boo. No. You could hear the B. Andy Lassner, who is a producer on The Ellen Show, he said, just got this email about a Trump Store Memorial Day sale. Oh, it says to get your discount, quote, use code remember. Not kidding.
Unbelievable. They're so tone deaf.
Oh my God. Just... Trump merchandise going on sale at a discount on Memorial Day.
Right.
Use code
remember.
Remember.
Ay.
Can you even?
I can't even.
I can't even. All right. Mr. Film Critic, a law student. Trump, 2016. The FBI is investigating Hillary, so she must be corrupt. Trump, 2018. The FBI is investigating me. The FBI must be corrupt.
Right. That's how it goes.
That was a good one. Brad Parscale. Now, he was the campaign digital director in 2016, and he is now the Trump 2020 campaign manager, presidential run campaign manager.
Mm-hmm.
He said, they put a spy within our ranks. This is the highest, most egregious use of government power for political gain in modern history. People need to be held accountable. And then Stuart Stevens, now he is a Republican political consultant. You may have seen him a lot on MSNBC at some point. He said, your campaign manager has been indicted. Your deputy campaign manager is now a felon. Your top foreign policy expert is now a felon. The top levels of your campaign met with Russian agents. Your data firm is now bankrupt and under investigation in multiple countries. Whine on.
Mm-hmm. Good for
I
him.
I mean, how can these people? Yeah, good for him is right. Well, he's one of the ones that gets up on TV and really goes at it like, what's his name? Oh, his name just went Rick Wilson.
Rick Wilson, yep.
Yeah, who's, you know, acid-tongued and can go right for it. But, I mean, I always thought that when we saw Republicans get out there and speak up against Trump, there would be sort of a following and sort of a domino effect, and people would fall in line with that and start bad-mouthing Trump and doing something about it. And instead, all we have are some of these Republican commentators bad-mouthing Trump.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep. Yep. I'm still waiting for some in Congress. Jeff Flake is the only one who is now saying that, you know, he hasn't ruled out the idea of challenging him in 2020. That would be fine. Someone's got to primary him. I just hate that, you know, he's not standing up and fighting to the death, as it were, that he's backing off and not running for re-election because he knows he can't win. And he's still voting with Trump all the way, which is, you know, another thing that bothers me.
See, that's the thing. He could afford a couple of others who, I mean, there's more than a couple who really don't like Trump in Congress, but they know that they have the vote. So if they wanted to, they could do a protest vote and look like they were actually doing something.
Yep.
They won't even do that.
Nope. Nope. They just stick with the party line. And yet they call the Democrats the obstructionists.
That's, yeah. Well, two words, Merrick Garland.
Yeah. Hello.
And then today's Supreme Court thing. It wasn't exactly a ruling, I guess. It was throwing it back to, what is it, Louisiana, about abortion, about the abortion pill?
Yep. Yep. Which allows them to start enforcing the ban on giving this pill out, which really sucks.
Right. Well, so you know now that Gorsuch is going to be the swing vote, not the swing vote, a vote against abortion rights. And unless, what's his name? God, what's the Supreme Court justice who could go either way? What's his name?
Kennedy.
Kennedy, thank you. He's the one that, you know, people are hoping to rely on for certain votes. And meanwhile, there's rumors that he could retire.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to, because he's already named his law clerks for next year, which they use.
Oh, did he do that?
Yeah, apparently he did that a while ago. So they use that as a barometer of, you know, who's staying and who's going. By the way, there's a response from George Soros' spokesperson to Roseanne's claim that he turned in Jews to the Nazis while stealing their wealth. Here's what they sent out.
Okay.
George Soros survived the Nazi occupation of Hungary as the 13-year-old child by going into hiding and assuming a false identity with the help of his father, who managed to save his own family and help many other Jews survive Holocaust. He did not collaborate with the Nazis. He did not help round up people. He did not confiscate anybody's property. Such false allegations are insulting to the victims of the Holocaust, to all Jewish people, and to anyone who honors the truth. They are an affront to Mr. Soros and his family, who against the odds managed to survive one of the darkest moments in our history.
Was that done in a tweet, or did you find it online somewhere?
Ken Vogel of the New York Times tweeted it out.
Okay, I'm going to look that one up.
I retweeted and it, so just go to my Twitter feed and you'll find
great.
It.
Okay, will do. That's why people were sending around the Snopes thing too.
Mm-hmm.
It said virtually the same thing, only with less passion or no passion because it's Snopes. But and of course I got immediately a troll saying, oh, you can't rely on Snopes.
Right. You can't rely on Snopes. Snopes doesn't tell you the
truth. Of course not. That's ridiculous. Why would you rely on a fact checker, right?
Of course.
Oh, man. Anyway, so those are all the tweets that I have for the day. I'm thrilled about Roseanne's agent, ICM, dropping her, because that is effective, that other than obviously getting her show canceled. I've been dropped by one agent. I have, and it was a sting. I wasn't doing enough work for them, obviously. I wasn't getting enough jobs, and it was time to re-up. And my agent, who really wanted me to stay, said they aren't going to pick you up. And I was like, that's bad. I'm sorry.
Mm.
But but that's how it feels.
Yep. And good. Hopefully she's feeling the sting of her words today. They come back to bite her on the ass.
And as I came on air, she had not yet deleted her account.
No, it's still there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So there we go. We're at the end of the hour. Gotta Laugh. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh and at Laffy'sPlace.com at NicoleSandler.com. As always, thank you, Laffy.
Thank you, too. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye. Tomorrow, our old friend Jackie Schechner is back, not to talk about the Affordable Care Act, though I'm sure I'll have a few questions for her, but to talk about her new passion, Investigate Russia. Seriously, we'll do that tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everyone. I'll see you then.